Yes, welcome back to the show here on World Football Daily. Delighted to be joined by another WFD debutante on the last show of this week. It is, of course, Mr. Johnny Avila from the Mexican Soccer Podcast from www.worldfootballdaily.com joining us on the show today. Johnny, how are you, mate? You're not nervous about making your WFD debut. You know, many of the greats have worn this shirt before.
No, not really. I mean, I do this podcast thing with the Mexican Soccer Show week in and week out.
So he's a competent man who's been brought up to come and get into the first team here on WFD. Man, it's a pleasure to have you on the show today, mate. Of course, we're going to be talking all things Mexico. Of course, we've got the hexagonal games coming up. But let's go back to that Jamaica draw, first and foremost, in the first round of the hexagonal qualifiers. What's been the fallout for this Mexican national team? Because there must have been a lot of disappointment surrounding a 0-0 draw at home against Jamaica.
Yeah, it was very disappointing to start that way against that kind of a opposition at home. You know, everybody expected a 4-0 win, and I think the players expected a 4-0 win just by showing up. And, you know, that's not the case in these World Cup qualifiers. You got to really show up and play. And I hope it's a lesson learned for that green jersey on.
I mean, It's obviously never going to be easy in these hexagonal round qualifiers, but at the same time, there's a substantial quality gap between Mexico and a lot of these sides. Are people still expecting them to kind of coast through to the World Cup?
Yeah, people are expecting them to coast through, and the problem becomes when the players start believing it, and that kind of showed against Jamaica. The players themselves need to get that mentality out and leave it for the fans, for the analysts to say this is going to be an easy ride, but the players themselves and the coaches, they need to kind of get down to business and really, really focus on what the opposition has to bring, what are their strengths, what are their weaknesses.
Does that mean that this draw maybe against Jamaica was a good kind of kick up the behind for the Mexican national team early on in the hexagonal round? It kind of motivates them?
Yeah, I really think it was. Coming off so many successful full tournaments, especially at the youth age, the Olympics, the U-20 World Cup third place, the U-17 World Championship, you know, so much success, the Gold Cup, three Gold Cups in a row, you know, so much success probably did get to the players' heads. And this was a good early wake-up call saying you need to kind of focus on World Cup qualifiers. These are different animals.
It's a different animal and hopefully a different Mexico side that we're going to see taking on Honduras this evening. When you look at the players that may be disappointed in that Jamaica game, Jose Andres Guardado, one was Aguilar as well. I mean, are we going to see players getting dropped, regulars getting dropped for the upcoming games against the U.S. men's national team in Honduras as a shake-up from Jose Manuel De La Torre?
Well, definitely, Aguilar, the right back, he's not even in the full squad. He didn't get called up for this game. So we're definitely going to see a change at right back. And actually, a lot of the disappointment that I saw in the Jamaica game came from the bench, from the coaching staff. I didn't like Giovanni Dos Santos. I regard as the best Mexican player, the most talented. And I think for the Jamaica game, Chepo de la Torre wanted to go with two strikers and pushed out Giovanni Dos Santos out wide right, and that kind of limited his space, his creativity. If you have Giovanni pushing off the center behind only one striker, you give him more room to work with. And Chepo de la Torre then just substituted Giovanni out at halftime after he wasn't producing nothing, being stuck on the right wing. So I think that was a huge waste of talent of what Jose Manuel de la Torre did in that game against Jamaica.
We saw, of course, Javier Hernandez and Oribe Peralta start in that Mexico attack. So do you see that? Who makes way out of those two to bring Giovanni Dos Santos inside?
Well, definitely be Oribe Peralta. I believe he's injured at the moment, but even if he wasn't, it has to be Oribe Peralta to make way. And I'm not saying he's not good enough to be in the starting 11. I'm just saying Hernandez is a bit better. And there can only be room for one striker when you have Giovanni Dos Santos playing in that free role in the middle. Besides, Oribe Peralta and Hernandez, they're too much alike. They they usually end up getting into each other's way. The spaces that Hernandez usually loves to find, he can't find because he has Peralta somewhere and they're disturbing his runs.
Where are the key battles then for Mexico to win on the pitch against Honduras this evening? Who needs to really step up and make themselves accounted for, apart from obviously Giovanni Dos Santos?
Giovanni Dos Santos and also Javier Aquino on the right and Guardado on the left. With those three players, if those three are the creative players, those three are the difference makers. If they can bring their game, Chicharito Hernandez will find, you know, one or two holes throughout the game to exploit, to, you know, kind of finish off a pass of theirs, or even just create space for any of those three to dribble into the box and have a shot themselves. So those three need to bring their A game. Chicharito will do, you know, his work that he usually does. And, you know, hopefully we can get a good result out of Honduras.
Is there any chance at all of another slip-up against Honduras this evening? I mean, Jamaica, nobody thought it was possible. Where can Honduras manipulate this Mexican side?
Very much so. Mexico hasn't beat Honduras in the last 20 years in World Cup qualifiers. The last win for Mexico in Honduras was in 1993, a 4-1 victory. And Honduras has the home field advantage. I believe Honduras is the most hostile, you know, place to play in all of CONCACAF. And they'll be looking to make their home field advantage play. They'll be more physical than the Mexicans, so probably set pieces. They'll be looking to create some dangers. And if they can remain organized in the back, Chicharito will be probably getting into offside positions quite a bit if they can, you know, hold their line straight. They could very well disappoint this Mexican side.
When you look ahead now to the U.S. men's national team coming into the Azteca, is there a score to be settled with the friendly result that took place in late 2012, where with the U.S. in mid 2012, with the U.S. beating Mexico in the Azteca on home soil?
I really don't think so. Not on the Mexicans' mentality. That game came in a time where so much good things were happening for the Mexican national team. It just got, you know, put in the old well column. Nobody really has given that game a second thought, especially because the way it was played with Mexico just kind of pouring and pouring the pressure on the U.S., which is, you know, what the fans want to see, kind of opposite of what happened against Jamaica, where Mexico had the ball but weren't really creating any goal-scoring opportunities. Against the U.S. in August of 2012, Howard really came up big, saved at least five goal-scoring opportunities. And, you know, that's kind of what the Mexican fans want to see out of the team. And that result is, you know, kind of not important. What will be important is the result coming out of Honduras. So that result would be the bigger motivator for the Mexico-U.S. game coming up next week.
Is it not seen, because obviously we know on the U.S. standpoint, a win against Mexico is a massive deal. Is this rivalry just not the same build-up on the same side as for the Mexicans?
Yeah, when it's all about a superiority complex. When a team feels inferior to another and they get a win over them, it's a huge deal. When a team feels, you know, superior than the other team, they'll let a friendly result skate by. Back in the 90s when the U.S. were beating Mexico, again in the U.S. soil, never in Mexican soil, but that did kind of sting Mexico because they were losing out in tournaments, going to Confederations Cup and losing Gold Cups. That kind of did sting, but, you know, overall, I think Mexico knows they're a bit superior than the U.S., so they don't let a friendly result really get to them.
What's considered a failure for Mexico over these two games when they wake up on Wednesday? What would be the worst-case scenario? Obviously, two losses would be, but what would be the worst case in terms of frustrating the Mexican people?
Well, minimum over these two games, I'm expecting at least 4 points, a draw at Honduras and a win at Azteca. You know, Mexico has had a history of making the Azteca, you know, really, really count, and I expect them to continue doing that. I mean, it's a it's a real fortress, Azteca, and getting a draw out of Honduras would be a pretty okay result in my mind, especially since, you know, like I said, it's so hostile down there, and Mexico hasn't won down there in 20 years. So 4 points, you know, that's the bare minimum for me, for Mexico out of these two games.
Johnny, just away from the Mexican national team and looking at club competitions, of course, Club Tijuana doing very well in the Copa Libertadores, but aside from that, it's not been great for Mexican sides in the Copa Lib. Is this maybe a slight worry, especially when you look at the CONCACAF Champions League and two Mexican sides taking on two US sides? Is Mexican dominance in North America starting to come to an end?
In North America, I don't think so. I think another Mexican side will win the CONCACAF Champions League, you know, over fairly easily over the MLS sides as well as the Copa Libertadores. Mexico has had such a hard time with that competition, more because the league does not support the teams that participate in them. They're not flexible to schedule changes when long road trips are ahead. And it usually comes, teams participating in Libertadores usually have, they'll come up to a roadblock where they have to decide either or competition, league or Libertadores. And teams have been foolish enough to try and, you know, play their strongest at both ends, which, you know, they end up getting burned out and being eliminated from both league and cup. Tijuana, on the other hand, from the get-go has said, Libertadores, that's our main priority. We would like to qualify for, you know, local playoffs, but if we don't, oh well, Libertadores is our priority. And that's actually the first Mexican team since the starting of participation in that tournament that has gone out and said that and, you know, kind of followed through, because we see in the lineups in the local league how Tijuana will play reserve players and save their stars for the Libertadores.
Is that something that you see as a positive, the Tijuana finally taking the Copa Lib as the priority over the league?
Yeah, I really do. I'm glad a team finally kind of acknowledges the importance. And I think it all has to do with their coach, Antonio Mohamed. He, you know, he played at Libertadores. He won a Sudamericana as a coach. He's, you know, he knows how important a Copa Libertadores is. And I'm glad, you know, he's teaching that importance in Mexico, because even my favorite clubs like Club America, who have participated, have gone deep, they still don't get that importance of how important it would be for a Mexican team to actually win a Copa Libertadores.
And you're not worried at all by Seattle's dismissal of Tigres in the CONCACAF Champions League then?
No, Tigres have Tuca Ferretti as their coach, who has always dismissed any international competition. And again, you can tell with the starting lineups, he put all reserve players against Seattle. And he's done this before. He did it with Pumas in the CONCACAF Champions League. And he did it with Tigres in the Copa Libertadores. He went to a pre-knockout stage of the group stage and got eliminated by a Peruvian team right before the Libertadores. So Tuca Ferretti has always dismissed all international competition. So this Seattle win, you know, it does kind of give MLS fans hope. But in the end, I kind of know that, you know, Monterrey and Santos are pretty much stronger than any MLS side there is.
Now, Johnny, we are running a competition coinciding with the U.S. men's national team visit to the Azteca on Tuesday. It's very simple. We're giving away a U.S. men's national team jersey. In return, all we ask is that we get a correct scoreline for the game and, of course, one goal scorer from that game as well. What do you think the score is going to be in the Azteca coming up on Tuesday, man?
3-1 Mexico win.
And a goal scorer for us, mate?
Giovanni Dos Santos.
Of course. I had a feeling that you were going to say that, man. Johnny, it's been a pleasure to get you on the show, mate, for the first time, and we look forward to getting you back on as soon as possible to catch up with the Mexican sides, of course, in the league and in CONCACAF Champions League and Copa Libertadores as well, mate.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. I'm glad to be on your show, and I hope all your listeners keep listening to our show, the Mexican Soccer Show, right here on World Football Daily.
Hey, man, tell us what you got coming up quickly on the Mexican Soccer Show this week, actually, mate.
I believe we're going to do a special kind of review and preview of the next game. We're going to record tomorrow, so it should be out soon. And we usually record on Mondays and get released by Tuesday mornings or every week our podcast.
So you're basically you're taking a few days off to enjoy the Mexico-US men's national team game and getting the recording out early, man. I like your thought, and I like the forethought in putting football first as opposed to the work itself, man. Fantastic to have you on the show, Johnny, mate. Take care. We look forward to having you back on as soon as possible.
Thank you.
Cheers, man. Johnny Avila there joining us here on World Football Daily from the Mexican Soccer Podcast here on www.worldfootballdaily.com, talking all things Mexico as they get set to take on Honduras and, of course, the US men's national team as well. Rafa might be a little bit insulted for by a couple of things there. Firstly, not worried at all about the rise of the US football and the MLS stars in CONCACAF Champions League. And
that's generally how Mexico feels. I mean, they assume that they are, well, they are, let's be real. They are the class of CONCACAF, and there's a certain swagger and confidence that comes with knowing you're the best of the best in the region.
Yeah, that will happen. But I mean, the other thing was as well saying that, you know, this Honduras game is more worrying than the U.S.'s visit to the Azteca.
I know. I heard that on their last show. They made a very, very big point of rubbing that in. And that's fine. Look, I really hope that they are taking the U.S. a little less serious than they should be, because that's really what we kind of need. You know, I know for a fact that there's no chance the United States can take this lightly whatsoever. So it's really, you know, if Mexico takes it lightly, then we really do have a chance, I feel like, of really kind of getting something from this game.
Well, we will be finding out in just a few seconds' time if it's likely that Mexico will be taking the U.S. men's national team lightly. Of course, there's a bigger game taking place before that against Costa Rica. With all the hubbub that's gone on around the U.S. men's national team base camp, we're going to be checking in with somebody that knows everything about U.S. soccer and the U.S. men's national team. It will be Alan Ramsey joining us after this very quick break here on World Football Daily.